morning. We invite you to turn in your Bibles to Acts chapter 1, and we'll be reading in just a moment verses 1 through 8. As we get into this message this morning, I just want to remind everyone that several weeks ago, I preached a message on the makeup of the church, the body of Christ, that all of those who know Jesus Christ, we read in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 that they are baptized by one Spirit into the body of Christ. So all of those who know Jesus Christ are baptized by the Spirit into one body. Then, the following week, I preached on the calling of the church, the body of Christ. What are we called to do? What has God told us in His Word that we are to be about? What is His commission to us? And we saw from Matthew chapter 28 that we are called first and foremost to love God with all of our heart. And then, as we walk as disciples, we are to make others disciples. We are to help others to become disciples. And today, I want to preach about how Jesus can build His church and accomplish His purposes in us and through us. And we'll see that God does this through the power and the gifts that He has given to the church. Let's read from Acts chapter 1, verses 1 through 8. In my former book, Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and to teach. Until the day He was... You can stand if you want. Several of you already have started. Until the day that He was taken up to heaven, after giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles He had chosen. After His suffering, He presented Himself to them and gave many convincing proofs that He was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. On one occasion, while He was eating with them, He gave them this command: "Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift My Father promised, which you have heard Me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." Then they gathered around Him and they asked Him, "Lord, are You at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel?" And He said to them, "It is not for you to know the times or the dates the Father has set by His own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be My witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." Father, we submit ourselves now to the authority and teaching of Your Word. We ask, Holy Spirit, that You will open our hearts and our minds to understand Your Word, to apply it to our lives, Lord, and to respond with obedience. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. So I have a question to start us out in this message. And here's the question. How can Jesus build His church? How can Jesus accomplish His purposes in us and through us? How can Jesus do that? How can Jesus accomplish His purposes in people like you and me, people like Peter, people like the other disciples, people who were ordinary people, yet they were at times filled with failure, filled with frailty. How can Jesus do this? Well, the main point of my message is this, that God has given us everything we need to accomplish His purposes. He can accomplish the calling of the church, which is us. I want to make that point so strongly this morning. Sometimes we hear, well, you know, the church is called to make disciples. And we immediately think, yes, the church out there is called to make disciples. No, the church right here, you, me, we are called to make disciples. We are enabled by God to accomplish the calling of His church that He's given to us through the power and the gifts of the Holy Spirit. This is how God accomplishes His purposes. This is what God's plan was from the beginning. He prophesied through the prophets to us about it, that the promise of the Father would be the poured out Holy Spirit. And so, God has given these to us. God has given to us the power of the Holy Spirit. God has given to us the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Most importantly, and hear me, God has given us the gift of the Holy Spirit. God's Spirit to come and to live in us. It's not just about power. It's not just about gifts. It's about the person of the Spirit who comes to live in us and to do all that God desires in us and through us. Amen? This is what God wants to do. God has given these to us. We are to embrace the Spirit-filled, the Spirit-led life. We are to embrace Christ's Spirit in our life and His leading in us daily. And He will pour out His Spirit on us, and He will pour out His gifts in us. We don't have to make it happen. God will accomplish it. As we look at this together and break it down, I have two things that I want to say. Number one, God will build this church. He will accomplish His purposes in you and in me and through us, first, through the power of the Spirit, the power that He has given to the church. What does this mean? It means that He has filled us. He has empowered us by the Holy Spirit. We read just a moment ago, verse 8, "You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you." Power for what? He says, "And you shall be my witnesses." Let's pause there for just a moment. You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses. To be filled with the Spirit, to receive the power of the Spirit means this, that I am empowered to be His witness. I am empowered to be His witness. The Holy Spirit will give us, listen, the Holy Spirit will give us all the power we need to be His witnesses. Sometimes we use the word evangelism from up front, or we tell you that we're going to be having an evangelism seminar or evangelism training, evangelism class. And of course, that almost immediately scares everybody away, because immediately you think of, you know, knocking on doors and talking to people that you don't know and who don't like you. And that is true. There is an element of truth to that. The evangelism team that Gary Schultheis has been training and that we've gone out over the past several weeks, we went out to the townhome complex back behind the church off Marion Quimby Drive. And first of all, there was not a lot of people home on Saturday morning. Number two, the doors that we did knock on weren't so friendly. In fact, they made it very clear they were not interested in talking to us. One lady immediately said, I'm good. I really don't want to talk to you. That's okay. You know what? The power of the Holy Spirit will enable us to endure such rejection. Jesus said, remember, they're not just rejecting you, they're rejecting me because of who we represent. But you see, what God wants to accomplish in us is much, much more than just being bold and going out and knocking on doors. That's a very small thing compared to all He wants to do in your life, in my life. Number one, He wants you and me to live first and foremost as His witnesses, live as His disciples. And that, my friend, is the greatest witness. As people see our lives and they look at us and they say, something's different. And I'm not talking about being weird. Something's different about that person. So here's the things that the Spirit will do in us. Number one, or letter A, He will fill us with power. He will fill us with power to live a holy life and power to be witnesses. In other words, you and I will be fueled. Do you ever see someone who's fueled? Sometimes it's not in such a good way. But if they're fueled, they're alive and they're excited and they're passionate about whatever it is they're talking about. We need to be fueled by the power of the Holy Spirit and be fueled about Jesus. If we're walking around and we're looking like we're sucking on sour lemons and we're not excited about Jesus, then people aren't going to be very excited when they talk to us. In fact, they'll probably stay away from us. So the Holy Spirit brings power. You'll be fueled in your life and in your walk with Jesus. You'll be excited. And to live a holy life means this: I'm living more and more like Jesus. I'm accomplishing what Jesus wants me to accomplish in my life. I'm being transformed. And I'm also reaching out and witnessing to those around me. Well, let's stop and ask the question: how does the Holy Spirit bring us power? How does it actually happen? Well, when the Holy Spirit comes into us, He takes the overcoming power of Jesus Christ and applies it to us. We read in Romans 8 that the same Spirit that raised Jesus Christ from the dead is at work in you and me. Do you believe it? The same Spirit that raised Jesus Christ from the dead, that overcoming resurrection power, He takes it and applies it to your life and to my life. Well, why don't we have that power? Well, because there is a need for us to embrace it and cultivate it in our lives. It's kind of like turning a vacuum on, plugging a vacuum in, but not turning the power on, not turning the switch on. One of our vacuums that has been around for quite some years has been having a problem with the electrical plug. It plugs into the body of the vacuum, and then the cord goes and plugs into the wall. Well, there's a problem with it. And you will turn the switch on, and nothing happens. But if you take the cord and you jiggle it down by the outlet that goes into the body of the vacuum, all of a sudden the power comes on, and the light lights up, and you can turn it on, and it works. We're like that sometimes. We need to get the connection clear. We need to get the connection with Christ clear in our lives every day. And I'm telling you, if you will get that connection clear, if you and I will join ourselves to Christ every day, make a connection with Him, we will have that power. He promised it to us. He promises it to us. Where there is weakness, He will bring strength. Where there is timidity, He will bring courage. Where there has been apathy, there will bring caring and concern. Where there has been hate and bitterness and the holding of unforgiveness, He will bring the power and the ability to forgive and to love. Listen, Jesus Christ did not die on that cross and rise from the dead and overcome death and overcome hell and receive the power, the promised Spirit from the Father, and pour it out on us so that we can stay the same. That we can be the same person, timid, afraid, frightened, caught up in our hurts, habits, and hang-ups, and never changing, never transforming. God wants transformation for you and for me. He wants to set us on fire by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen? This is what He wants for us. He wants us to live a life of love. He wants us to live a life of encouragement. He wants us to live a life of overcoming our failures. Overcoming our addictions, our hurts, our habits, our hang-ups. Some of us have been hung up in some things for a long time. Listen, it's time to get over those things. God wants us to move deeper, to go past those things, get healed up, freed up, delivered up, and deal with the things in our life so that He can continue to transform us and to use us. He wants us to live a life of asking forgiveness. When I fail, I still remember the wonderful testimony that Joetta gave a few years back. She stood up in the midst of this congregation and said she had failed at work. She was working at Kmart, and she reamed out somebody that had gotten her angry at the store. And she stood up here and she said, I had to go back and ask their forgiveness because I failed and I lost my temper and I said some things that I shouldn't say. Wow. That still impresses me, Joetta. And I hope it impresses all of us. You see, a lot of us, we put on our church face, we come, we dress up, boy, but we don't really want people to know what's going on in our lives. See, we want to keep it close. We don't want people to know that we have failed, that we have sinned. We have all done it. We're not hiding anything from anybody. So let's deal with it. Let's be honest. Amen? I'm overcoming my failures. I'm living a life that bears witness to the resurrection power of Jesus Christ. And watch this. I'm taking every opportunity to care and to share with other people. Every opportunity. That's what Paul tells us to do. Amen? Take every opportunity in these evil days. So we're filled with the power of the Lord, power to witness, power to live a holy life. B, I am filled with passion. And I know Valentine's Day is coming up, but that's not the kind of passion I'm talking about. But spouses, remember each other. Valentine's Day, you don't have to spend a bundle of money. Sometimes a handwritten note expressing your love is more important, more needed. But we're filled with passion of the Lord. Why? Because we need passion to love God, and we need passion to worship Him. We need passion to glorify Him and to love other people. I know some of us, you know, are not always passionate about loving and interacting with other people. In fact, some of us would rather stay away from other people. Some of us are introverted, and we could do just fine without interacting with other people. I understand that. Believe it or not, there are times when I get tired of people. I know I'm an extreme extrovert, but there are times when I just want to be left alone. Our natural tendencies, God wants to overcome them so that we can love Him and love other people. So He fills us with passion. The Spirit of God fills us with passion. C, He fills us with purpose. He fills us with purpose by the Spirit. I have a purpose in my life. The purpose is first and foremost to serve and glorify God with all of my being, to love Him with all of my being. That's my purpose. It's in my job, in my family, in my community, in whatever arena that I'm in. I'm to glorify God and bring Him the glory and let others see it. You remember the words of Jesus in Matthew chapter 5? Let your light so shine before people that they see your good works and glorify God in heaven. We have to let people see our works. You can't do that in your own strength. I can't do that in my own strength. But God has given us a purpose. He's told us what He wants us to do. And He has told us to serve Him by serving others. Reach out to them. And then there's one more. Letter D. Watch this. He gives us persuasion. We try to persuade other people to know Jesus Christ. Listen, I know that Jesus said it in John chapter 6, that it is the Spirit that draws people. I understand that. That's back behind it. But we're told here in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 11. Watch this. Since we know what it is to fear the Lord, we try to persuade people. We try to persuade others. I did a little study on that word. And it means this, that we try to convince them. We try to win them through correct argument. Not a heated argument. Not a disrespectful argument, but correct argument. The fancy theological word for that is apologetics. You try to explain and defend the faith to them, help them to see. That's why Paul says, later on in this chapter, 2 Corinthians 5, he says, you and I are ambassadors for Christ. It is though God is speaking through us. And so we try to persuade people. We need the power of the Holy Spirit to try to persuade others. You can't persuade others in your own strength. I can't persuade others in my own strength, only through the Spirit of God. And God will fill us with all of these as we walk with Him daily, as we seek Him, as we ask Him to fill us and give us these opportunities. Amen? He will. You might say, well, Pastor, I just don't seem to have these kind of opportunities. Well, God will give them to you if you ask Him. Are you asking Him? Am I asking Him? How are we doing with this? Are we seeking to have these kind of opportunities with people? Sometimes God drops it in your lap when you weren't even looking for it. Bob and Madeline Benner, I don't believe that they're here today. I asked them if they would share a testimony. And he said that he would. And then he called me yesterday. He said, we have a schedule glitch. He said, we may not be able to be there. I said, well, is it okay if I share your testimony? And he said, sure, go ahead. Maybe he'll share it again next time he comes. Let me give an example of someone who's seeking to be led by the Spirit, filled by the Spirit, and follow the Spirit at the Spirit's direction. Bob shared with us in Bible study the other day that the Lord had put it on his heart to go and ask a woman that is a friend of his to ask her if there's something that she needed prayer for. Now, she works across the bridge, so he had to drive. He lives all the way down Route 8, so he had to come up, go all the way across the bridge. So there was some inconvenience involved. Imagine that. Inconvenience. But the Lord told him to do it, and so he did it. He went, and he asked her, is there anything that can pray for you? God's put it on my heart. And is there anything that I can pray for you? She said in tears, yes. Please pray for my son. He's an addict. And he was in jail for a year. And he's just gotten out. And now he's failing again. He's gotten back into the drugs. And he's failing again. And Bob shared with us very openly, very honestly, that he was completely stunned. He was taken back. And he was speechless. He didn't even know what to say. And he said, he kind of mumbled, I'll pray for you. And he left because he didn't know what to say. He didn't even know what to pray. He left, and that night he felt very bad about that. He prayed and he sought the Lord and he said, Lord, I failed. I didn't pray for her. I didn't even know what to say. I didn't know how to respond. And he prayed and he prayed and he prayed and he went to sleep. And he said the Lord woke up about 4 a.m. in the morning and spoke to him and says, don't give up hope. Don't give up hope. He said it was clear as a bell. So the next day he went back. He went back. And he went right up to her and he said, I apologize to you. He said, I was taken back. And he said, I didn't know what to pray. And he shared what the Lord had put on his heart. Don't give up hope. And then he went and he prayed right then and there for her. Right in the store that she was working in. He didn't care because the Spirit of God led him to do it. And he was determined, I'm going to do this. I'm going to follow the leading of the Spirit no matter what. And he prayed for her. And she was in tears. And God had ministered to her and gave her hope. We need hope. Amen? We live in a very hopeless world. People around you won't give you much hope. And he was so glad that he was led by the Spirit and he obeyed. And God gave him power to overcome his fears. God gave him power to overcome his flesh. Listen, he said in his flesh, he really didn't want to go back a second time. He was already embarrassed enough. He was already humiliated enough. But he was determined, I'm going to follow. And you see, after that came the joy. Great joy. Knowing that he had encouraged her, that God had used him to encourage her, to give her grace. He was so joyful, so encouraging. Last night at that service, when that young man came forward, and we had the opportunity to pray over him, and he said yes, even to the point when I said to him, are you absolutely sure you want to give your life to Jesus? No holds barred. You're not going to give him just a part of yourself. You want to give him all of yourself. Are you sure you want to do this? And he said, yes. And we prayed with him. And he gave his life to Christ. And he invited God to come into his life and change him and transform it. That was great joy. It was great joy. What is it that Jesus is calling you by his Spirit to do? What is he calling you to do? He will empower you to do it. Maybe He wants you to step out of your comfort zone and do something that you've never done before. As we sang that song earlier, Lord, Your will, Your way. We say yes, whatever it is. Are we truly meaning that, or are we just singing a song? Your will, Your way. And we say yes, Lord. He will empower us. He'll help you to do something you've never done before. You'll step out of your comfort zone. Here's plug number one for the ministry sign up. You might say, well, I don't know what the Lord wants me to do. I don't know what He's calling to do. I'm glad you said that. Go out in the lobby after the service and also in the library and look at the things that are laid out. And see where God might have you to become a part of the ministry. There's so many, many different ways that you can be involved. I believe God will lead you some way, in some way particular. And so, it's the power of the Holy Spirit that God wants us to embrace, to be filled with His Spirit. What does that mean? It means every day we're seeking Him. We're asking Him, fill me, Lord. Fill me with Your Spirit. Lead me by Your Spirit today. You see, when Peter and his disciples, Jesus' disciples, are filled with the Spirit, their lives are changed. All of them were ordinary people, fragile, full of failure. We know the failures that the disciple has because the Bible clearly spells it out, clearly puts it in there. When Jesus is arrested, all but Peter run away. They're afraid. They're frightened. And Peter follows at a distance. But we know when he's confronted by the servant girl, he denies Christ. He falls away. They're fragile. But all of them receive the power of the Holy Spirit and they are transformed. They become powerful witness to the resurrected Christ. Listen, this is not just for Peter and the disciples. This is for you and for me. If we try to live the Christian life through the power of our flesh, we will be defeated. We will be disappointed. You cannot follow God. You cannot serve Him in the power of the flesh. And this is why we bring it up over and over again, that we must die to our old self, die to our flesh, and be filled with the life-giving Spirit of Christ every day. Amen? We must be filled with the Spirit. A.W. Tozer, one of my favorite authors, we're reading some of his books, but there's another book that I have, and I found a quote he has on this, and here's what he says. The Comforter, the Spirit, came to stay, and He filled the disciples. He gave them the inward moral ability to do the right thing and to do God's work. And that power is perpetuated in you and I. And if we do not have it, it's because we have been mistaught. We don't understand what God has for us. The Comforter has come. God is in our midst. He has come to comfort, for He is the Spirit of love. He has come to teach, because He is the Spirit of instruction. He's come to bring light, for He is the Spirit of light. He's come to bring purity, for He is the Spirit of holiness. He has come to bring power, for He is the Spirit of God and the Spirit of power. Oh, the shame that we should ignore Him. The shame that we should resist Him, disobey Him, quench Him. But when we yield ourselves, and when we obey, and when we open our hearts, He rushes in, and our lives are transformed. Amen? The Holy Spirit wants to do a work in your life, in my life, a new work. You see, you may be here today, and you might be saying, well, yes, I've given my life to Christ, and I'm following Him, and I've asked the Holy Spirit to fill me, and I'm doing the best I can. Great! That's wonderful. Well, we need to go deeper. More. There's more things that God wants to do in us and through us. But I also have another question. Have you received Jesus Christ, and in so doing, received His Spirit? Have you made that choice? I believe in a crowd this large, there's got to be some that have not yet made that commitment, have not yet made and started that relationship with Jesus Christ. At the end of this message, I want to give you an opportunity to do this. Ephesians 5:18 says, being filled with the Spirit. In other words, do it daily, continually. Don't stop. And if you say, yes, I'm filled with the Spirit, wonderful. Let's continue to walk in the Spirit. Let's continue with God every day. And let's ask Him to take us deeper. Amen? Take us deeper. And if somehow we've gotten off track, let's get back on track. Let's recommit and start again. Galatians 2:20. I am crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. And the life I now live, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. This is what Jesus wants to do. He wants to live His life through you and through me. Number two, He will build His church. He will accomplish His purposes through the spiritual gifts of the church. The spiritual gifts of the church. That's number two. God has given special tools, special abilities to each one of us to accomplish His mission. We saw that in Matthew chapter 28, that He's called us to make disciples. His mission is our mission. And so, as we understand what His mission is, that we are to reach, to grow, to serve, reach people with the gospel of Jesus Christ, grow them in, as believers in community, send them into their community to serve their world, to serve and to reach. Our vision is that we can be effective as a church to accomplish this. I want to share something with you that the Lord gave me this week. I've been praying. I've been seeking and asking, Lord, what do You want us to do as a congregation this year? And here's what He said, and you know, this is not astounding. Probably somebody has already come up with this before I thought of it. I believe through the Spirit of the Lord. Can we reach 20 more people in 2020? Can God use us, every one of us, to reach 20 more people in 2020? Last year, we baptized 12 people. There were some who came to Christ that have not yet get baptized, and we have an opportunity coming up in March to get that baptism taken care of. We'll tell you more about it as it gets closer. So we received 12 new believers last year, and they were baptized. Can we reach 20 more people in 2020? Is that something that God can do through us? You know me. I'm not one who's big on goals, but I think there's something of setting out a goal in front of us so that together we can work towards reaching people for Christ. Amen? I know it's not a huge goal, but I think it's something doable. I think it's something God can do in us and through us and every one of us, not just certain ones, but many of us. God puts us into situations. So, as I live as a Spirit-filled disciple, and then I help others become disciples or grow as disciples, I'm fulfilling what He wants for us through the gifts, through the personality that God has given me. It could be as simple as encouraging someone. Boy, we need a lot of encouragement today in this world, don't we? There's a lot of discouragement going on in this world. It might be, as Bob did, asking someone, how can I pray for you? Is there something I can pray for you? And if God opens up a door, if God enables you to have a conversation, a spiritual conversation, wonderful. Move forward in this power of the Spirit. And you see, watch this. Well, we need to read the Scripture before I say this. So, Eileen Rich is going to read 1 Peter 4, verses 10 through 11.
Each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others, as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. If anyone speaks, they should do so as one who speaks the very words of God. If anyone serves, they should do so with the strength God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ.
As we understand, identify, and grow in our spiritual gifts, and we use them, watch this, we are giving out God's grace. God has poured His grace into you and to me. And when we give it out in the way that God has designed us, with our personality and our gifts, as we use them, as we reach out to other people, you are giving, actually giving grace to other people. Isn't that magnificent? I want you to just think about that for just a second. Don't just whiz on past that. You are giving God's grace to somebody. Sometimes we wonder, boy, how's that person ever going to be reached? How's that person ever going to know anything about Jesus Christ? Through you giving the grace of God to them. Through the way God's designed you. Your personality, your temperament, your gifts. You mean God uses broken people like me? Yes. He uses all of us. We have an online spiritual gift survey that if you want to take that, it will help you. It's not the end all, but it will help you to identify and understand how God has gifted you. And we encourage you to take that online survey. I want to end with a story. Mark and Kathy DeBell are here today. And I asked them if I could share this. I know they really don't want any attention drawn to themselves. They weren't wanting anybody to know that they're doing this, but they agreed to let me share this to spur us on to serve others. They're using their home and their gifts, hospitality, to reach out. Every month they're set aside a day that they're inviting people over for fellowship and encouragement and food. Food's always a good draw. And God's using them to encourage others. One of the guys that went over there last month came to me and said, you know, man, that was just wonderful. That was just so awesome to be together and having that fellowship and just be encouraged. It was awesome. So kudos to you guys. I know you don't want any attention to yourselves, but thank you for letting me use that and as an example. Let me ask you something. Can you cook? How about offering to Kathy? I'll cook for you, Kathy. I'm not very good at talking to people, but I can cook, so I'll bring something over. Or maybe you're like me and you're a chatty Kathy. You say, Kathy, I'll come over and talk to people while you get the food ready. You see my point. We can all use our gifts, our abilities, our talents that God has given to us. Maybe you're an encourager. You could go over and encourage people there. Or maybe you want to open your home and begin to invite other people over. Use your home and your gifts and your hospitality to reach out to others. Folks, we have to get out of our comfort zone and let God use us in important and specific ways if we want to see Him minister to us. There's an old song from Scott Wesley Brown. He said, you got to get out on a limb if you want to find the fruit. You got to get out of the boat if you want to walk on the water. God is calling us to deeper levels. He is calling us as a church to do more than we ever have before. I believe we can reach 20 in this year, 2020. I believe we can reach more people. But let's start with one. God, is there one that I can pray for? God, is there one person that I can reach out to? Is there one that I can encourage? How do we reach 20? One at a time. We each start with one. It begins with praying. It begins with praying for them. You might say, well, I don't know how to pray. Write their name down. Put your hand on that list and say, God, draw them. It's as simple as that. Draw them, Lord. I can't do it, but you can. Draw them. That's prayer right there. You don't have to say, oh, thou greatest, thou Jehovah, comest unto me. You don't have to say things like that. No. Say, God, would you draw to my friend? Have you received Christ's Spirit by receiving Christ? That's the starting point. In a moment, we're going to pray. And if you've never received Christ, what a day. What a wonderful day. Today is the day to receive Christ, receive His salvation. And if you're a believer and you're filled with Christ's Spirit, praise God. Let's go deeper. Let's ask for a fresh filling. And if you've gotten off track, repent and get back on track and follow Him. Ask Him to fill you again. and God will do it. Let's stand together as we pray. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Let's be in the spirit of prayer. Father, we come together, and Lord, we desperately need your spirit. We need you to fill us fresh and new, Lord, so that we can do all that you've called us to do, all that you want to accomplish in us, Lord. We want to do it. We want to see you work in us. We can't do it without the power of the Holy Spirit. And so, Lord, we give ourselves afresh and new to you today. For those of us who have gotten off track, those of you who have gotten off track, right now, just reach out to God. Say, God, I repent and I return to you. I ask that you would fill me fresh and new today. If you're here today and you haven't started that relationship with Jesus, reach out to Jesus right now. Invite him in. Say, Lord, I want to know you, and I want to know your power in my life. I invite you to come in and fill me with the Spirit, Lord. Forgive my sins. I turn away from sin and I turn to you. And I ask you to forgive me and cleanse me and allow the Holy Spirit to fill me. If that's you, pray that right now. Pray it in your heart, and God will do a miraculous thing in your life. Then, believer, if you're walking with God, ask him, Lord, what is it that you want me to do? I want to go deeper. What is it that you want me to do? Show me, Lord. Show me. And in these days ahead, he will show you. Lord, we want to reach others for Christ. We want to be used by you. Lord, we want the joy that comes. We want the joy that comes from being used. So, Father, here we are. Send us. Use us, Lord. We give ourselves to you fully. And we ask the Holy Spirit to fill us fresh and new. Come, Holy Spirit, and fill us fresh and new. Thank you, Father. We praise your name. We give you glory and honor. I bless your people. I pray that each of us will go away encouraged but challenged to do what you want us to do. I thank you, Father. We give you glory and honor in Jesus' precious and holy name. And all the people of God said, amen. Amen and amen. If you want prayer, if you need to come make an altar, please come on up. Our prayer counselors will be here for you. Amen. God bless you all. Take time to look at the ministry opportunities. God bless you, brother.